St. Luke chapter 15, I'd like to read verses 17 through 24. St. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 24. We have the passage on the screen, and for those of you who have your Bibles, if you have found that passage and are ready for me to begin, would you say amen?
Amen.
But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." The word of the Lord. This is the third sermon in Luke 15 concerning the, what we typically call the prodigal son, although next week I would like to speak about the oldest son. We know the story by now that the prodigal son, the young son who left his home and in great haste and traveled to a far country, far away from his family, his father particularly. This is primarily, these, at least until verse 24, is primarily a story about a father and his son, the youngest son. He travels there with hopes and aspirations, although they may have been misguided and not very well planned. But he realized after a relatively short period of time, we believe, that he found himself in great want. And no one would help him. Where we pick up in the story this morning is, as a reminder, verse 16 that says, "He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate." To say he had fallen upon hard times is certainly an understatement. He had lost everything. Lost it all, the Bible says. It's tragic to have so much and then to lose it all. To lose some things is understandable, but to lose it all is not only inconceivable, but almost unbelievable. He's not the only person who's lost it all. If I call the name of a well-known entertainer from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and I believe into the 80s, you would all know, immediately know who I'm referring to. Very talented, multi-talented. Appeared on television, movies. Had a great voice, great dancer. Apparently made a lot of money. But when he died, he was in debt to the point where others had to bury him. Lost it all. A certain boxer who was and is considered one of the greatest of all times and grossed over $300 million in his career. But when he quit, he had to file for personal bankruptcy. Lost it all. Well, this young man lost everything. He had a taste of what it was to have. First of all, he was raised in a home where he was well provided for. And everything he took with him on this trip was provided by his father. But he lost it all. He took a job finally, and the job that he qualified for or was able to get was feeding the pigs. And what a shame it was that as he stood there along the fence line and watched the hogs in the pen eating the slop that was fed to them, that he himself was standing there craving the food the pigs ate. He was hungry, desperately hungry. He was jealous of the food the pigs ate. He wanted to share their meal. This is desperation to the point of humiliation, where this young man had set aside his pride in order to stay alive. He lost everything due to wild living, as we remember. But even if he had money, there was no food to purchase because there was a famine in that far country. It was not only the young man who was hungry, however, but everyone in that far country was hungry. What do you think the Bible may be telling us about being far away from the Father and your prospects of being happy and healthy and whole spiritually? I remember my dad talking about the depression and how that he had newspaper stuffed in his shoes because they couldn't afford new shoes or to have the ones he had repaired. And I remember him talking about the soup lines, where great wantonness was pervasive all across America. This young man was hungry. And if you're hungry enough, you'll stand in the soup line rather than die. This young man was willing to eat the pods that the pigs were eating rather than die. There is no fulfilling life in that far country away from the Father. Its pleasures, whatever they may be, are temporary. Verse 17 says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. There is a place where there was no famine. It's at the Father's house. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? For the text to say, when he came to himself, suggests something, doesn't it? It suggests that he was not himself. He He was not himself when he made these near tragic decisions. This is an acute picture of the madness of sin and the rebellious human nature. Sin is the reality of one whose life has been drawn away from God the Father, drawn to a life of selfishness, wastefulness, foolish living, and irresponsible pleasure. When he came to himself, how disillusioned people are to feel like they can map their own journey through life. Somehow you or I know where the pitfalls are going to be. Somehow you or I know in advance, maybe even years in advance, precisely when we will lose our job and have a financial crisis. Somehow you know and I know who we will marry even at a young age without any prospects. And we can tell you exactly the kind of tests and trials and tribulations we'll experience with our spouse or with our children if we have any. We can't do that. We can't map out our life's plans. We don't know that. We don't know where trouble or difficulty lies in our future. We have to deal with it as it comes. He said, my father's hired servants. He made sure we understood hired servants, not sons, but hired servants. His employees, they have more than enough bread, but I perish with hunger. He put himself in a different category, as he should. He's a son. Surely if my father would do this for his employees, what would he do for me? Here's a realization and subsequent confession of the lost son. There was apparently no one else who could meet the young son's needs like the father. The vast resources of the father are obvious to him and to us now. He sees something he didn't necessarily see before. He took it all for granted. His father had taken care of him all of his life, but only now does he fully realize just how needy he has been all of his life. But the father was there to graciously meet those needs at no cost to him. The son now has a fresh perspective on the great generosity of his father. Truly, the father has been good. You know, it takes some experience. A little experience. Someone recently, I won't tell you who it was, but someone who's recently joined adulthood status told me very recently, he said, you know, this grown-up thing is no joke. They were telling me something that, of course, I knew, and they were just finding out. He sees his need more than ever before. He's helpless to help himself. I perish, he said. It takes a big person to be able to say that. Because we live in a society where people, you know, as they say, fake it to make it. They pretend to have a public demeanor in which they have it all together, but in reality they don't. He says, I perish. How many of us can say that if you truly were in need, you could swallow your pride long enough to say, I need help? This is a revelation. He didn't see it before. It's a revelation to him. It's a true appraisal of his real status. Death is his destiny if he doesn't get back to his only real source of life. That is his Father. Oh, only he can make it back to his Father. He's wandered off the beaten path into a land far from the only source of life. As quickly as he left, and as fast as he initially traveled to this far and ill-advised destination, his feet seemingly couldn't move fast enough to get back home. He's lost. He had lost his love for the life he briefly had in that far country. Not so appealing anymore. That's what conversion does. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life. What used to be appealing to us, that life of sin and selfishness and wastefulness, and should I say mindfulness, when we're not even thinking of God, let alone thanking God for what we have. That life no longer appealed to him. There's a change happening in his life. He wants something different. He sees that all the things he experienced, all the things he had, though it was a fleeting time in his life, they didn't really meet or satisfy him any longer. His affections and the attachments, they had changed. He no longer wants that life. B, the final clause in that verse says, I perish here with hunger. This life that this young son was leading, it yields an intense longing. It's a revelation of an intense longing. People looking for some real satisfaction, and they're trying this and they're trying that, and they're going there and they're going here. It's a sense of real dissatisfaction he has now, an unrest. The wayward lifestyle doesn't bring any real lasting satisfaction, no matter how much money you spend attempting to buy that satisfaction. It doesn't. What this life of rebellion leads to in reality is utter misery, despair, and in the end, a miserable death. I perish, he says. The son had a revelation of his condition. He has run out. He has run out of friends. He's run out of food. He's run out of resources. And it sounds as if he also has run out of hope. This is a conviction of the heart. The son is allowed to see the condition of his life. How many people in our world, they don't really see. They don't see the condition they're in. They don't see that they're enslaved to sin. Will the son needlessly die here in a strange and barren land? Will he allow his pride to keep him where he is in that far country, dying from lack of food? Is this your life? Are you trying to convince yourself that you're full when you're really hungry? Are you telling yourself you're happy when you're saddened by your circumstances? Are you lying to yourself by saying you're rich when in reality you're poor? Are you dying a slow death? Will the young son allow his pride to put him in his grave? Why should I die from lack of food when my Father has more than enough? This is a reference to the sufficiency of the gospel to meet the deep spiritual needs of anyone who sees their need and comes to God the Father for help. Verses 18 and 19, I will arise and go to my Father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants. I will go to my Father. The Son has nothing to offer. The Son has nothing to offer his Father. He's not coming and saying, I'll buy what I need. No, he's broke. He has nothing to give. His credibility has taken a beating because he's made some really bad choices. He's come back home tattered and worn. His life has been shattered. He has nothing to offer. He's broke financially and broken in spirit. I perish. This is evidence of a profound change of the will also. It wasn't that long before, previously, that he decided he wanted to go. I will go. And now this profound change of the will. It's a work of God, a work of the Father. I'll go to my Father. The Son no longer wants to invest his time and efforts in a distant land, far away and disconnected from his Father. He's no longer interested in that life or in those ungodly relationships. He no longer wants what he once wanted. He has lost his love for the life he briefly had in that far country. He can live without living in that famished far country. He can get away from a life of despair. He can live without that. But he can't live without his Father. His Father is the source of food. His Father is his source of refreshment. His Father is his source of life. He wants something else. He can't live any longer without his Father. He desperately wants a life with his Father. This is a God-inspired, life-changing decision that propels him to make an about-face in his life. It's a decision that will take him away from a sin-driven life to a life of obedience to the Father. This is a classic example of what the Bible calls repentance. Where one does an about face. You make a 180 degree turn in your life. Where your affections, your passions, they're no longer the same. You no longer want the life that you thought you did. You've seen that kind of life. You've seen it for what it is. You see what it does for you and to you. And the end result is no lasting peace, no joy, no life of fulfillment. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus is the one who wrote this parable, told this parable. He's trying to tell his audience, there is no rest outside of me. Coming back to God is the answer. No matter how far you've roamed, you will not find the peace of God in that far country. No matter how many degrees you get, no matter how much money you make, no matter how big your business is, no matter how many promotions you have or how high your salary, no matter what your zip code is where you live, no matter what we drive, no matter what we wear, will never bring us satisfaction outside of a relationship with God, our Father. And Jesus provided the roadmap to that land of satisfaction. Come unto me. The son thought he had gotten away from his father by traveling into that far country. But he realized he couldn't get the father off of his mind or out of his heart. The loving kindness of his father drew him back home. Rest from his weariness drew him back to the father. A warm house, a peaceful home, satisfaction and of the soul all drew the son home. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, oh, the father has, he has good eyesight. His father saw him and felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. You know, in our human relationships, often when we have a disagreement or when there has been a break in a relationship for whatever reason, we want to see that person crawling back to us. And then we're standing there with our arms crossed in that famous position, I told you so. We want them to come back begging us. Was that the father's posture? He saw him a long way off. What's so wonderful about God is that the Father was not repulsed to see the wayward, rebellious son, but instead the Father apparently saw the son before the son saw the Father. He knew he was coming, and he felt compassion. My friend, if you don't know Jesus, the Lord has compassion for you. If you are a Christian and you have fallen away from the Father, if you have started that road away from the Father, and you've been convicted of your waywardness, the Father has compassion for you also. He saw him when he was still a long way from home. I would like to tell you, friend, that the Lord sees you. Yes, he does. You can work until you have worked your fingers to the bone in your career trying to hide from God, but God sees you. You can busy your life with all kinds of activities, hoping not to think about God, your Father. But God still sees you. You can pack your agenda. You can travel from east to west, north to south. God still sees you. The question is, are you coming to the Father? Are you coming to the Father? Did you notice in this passage that the Father loved the Son so much he ran? I don't know how old the Father was. It would take a work of monumental proportions for me to run to anybody. But the Father ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. Do you see here that the Father loved him even when the Son was at his worst? Don't say, I'm going to come to God. This all sounds good. I'm going to come to God when I get these other things taken care of. when I get my life cleaned up, when I make certain decisions, get some things off of my plate, because I'm really busy right now. Or are you that person who's down and out? Maybe you picked up a bad habit you once conquered, the Lord's help. And you're too ashamed to come to the Father. Do you see in this passage where the Father loved him, embraced him, kissed him? Even his smelly son who desperately needed a bath. He loved him so much that he ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. He was at his worst. God loves us even when we are at our worst. And when God is most disappointed in us, God still wants us to come to Him and let God embrace you. Don't run to the club for an embrace. Don't run to the bottle for an embrace. Don't run to drugs for an embrace. Don't run to an illicit relationship or an extramarital relationship for an embrace. Run to God. Through Jesus Christ, who's the door to a relationship, saving relationship with God. The Father still loved him. Let me read these four verses quickly. And the Son said to his Father, said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Here is the unconditional forgiveness of God. God's mercy in action toward the wayward, the disillusioned and the lost. Do you notice what the Father gave to him when he came? Nothing is too good for the Father's Son. Nothing is too good. God doesn't want us lingering in a life of waste. Living a life of dissatisfaction. Living a life of disconnectedness from meaningful relationships. No, God wants the best for all of us. Everything we need for our spiritual health and well-being is provided by God our Father through Jesus Christ. This is also, I believe, what Jesus is saying in this parable. All that you need for life, your spiritual health and well-being, I have it. We're complete in Christ. For in him all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you are complete in him. The ESV says you are filled in him, who is the head of every rule. Every ruler and every authority. When you have Christ, you have everything that God offers us. The Father gave to the Son what he didn't have and did for him what he couldn't do for himself. The Father had mercy on him, forgave him, saved him from a life of despair, and welcomed him back home. God's generous, incredible mercy. Now, what excuse do you have if you're listening to my voice? here in auditorium or on YouTube or our website, what excuse do you have to turn away from a God like this, who loves us when we are even at our worst? Come. Come back home, wayward son. Come back home, wayward daughter. Come back home to the Father. And He will welcome you home. Let's pray.